Welcome in, welcome in. Welcome in to Eliminate the Gray with Off the Record D. Get up on the screen. There we go. We on the screen. All right, good. Gonna do a quick sound check here, so bear with me as I do this quick sound check. All right, so we sounding good. How are y'all feeling on this Friday? All right, sound check is good. Alright, sound check is good. I always do a sound check. Ever since I had the one episode that I recorded and my audio was bad, or actually my audio was off, I got a little paranoia with the sound check. So now I don't go live, I don't get deep into it without making sure my sound is good. Welcome in to Eliminate the Gray, well, Off the Record D, where real sports live. Each week I break down the biggest stories in sports, giving you hot takes, fueled by logic, life experience, and time spent in team sports. No hot takes for clicks, just real perspective. I call it how I see it, whether it's breaking down a big game or calling out the media for how they spin the story. If you want sports talk with no agenda, you're in the right place. All right, so y'all see the thumbnail. So the thumbnail is right there on the screen. And if you're listening to this on the podcast version when this releases, the title is Dylan Gabriel Good? So that's been a very hot topic that's been widely discussed this week. Browns fans want to know, is Dylan Gabriel any good? We've been told through back channels to the media that Dylan Gabriel is a supercomputer. He's great with his processing. He's great on the whiteboard. We've been told that Shedeur Sanders can't call plays. We've been told that he can't memorize plays. We've been told that he struggles on the whiteboard. He struggles in the classroom. Now, we got no video evidence of any of this stuff. We just got reports and, you know, national people like Albert Breer coming out saying this. Tom Pelissero saying this. And they're saying all these different things. And what people are trying to do is people are trying to box you in as a Shedeur Sanders lover and a Dylan Gabriel hater. They're even creating nicknames for Shedeur Sanders fans, which I think you're going down a slippery slope once you want to start making nicknames for professional athletes, their fan base, or any of the like. Now, if a professional athlete, entertainer, or something, they give their fans / supporters a name and they go by that name, I think that's cool. But when people use titles to try to box you in, they usually aren't doing that with a positive view of you. They're doing that to, you know, make you look or appear to look negative. So on different radio shows, they're doing that. You won't see me engage in that because it's just, you know, I have a philosophy on how I view and speak on things, and I always go back to that philosophy. So certain things you'll see me steer clear of. So we're really going to get into this thing. What people want to believe is they want to believe that even though if you didn't view Dylan Gabriel as a NFL starter going forward before the draft, you thought he was overdrafted at pick 94. You have been watching all the compilations that Cam Justice has been putting out on X of all the QB throws when they were in Berea. You've been listening to all of the beat reporters for opposing teams speak on Dylan Gabriel's performance. You are just a Dylan Gabriel hater. That's the box they want to put you in. They want to put you in that box and say you're just a Dylan Gabriel hater. And I said this a couple weeks ago, so I know that I'm gaining new viewers, new subscribers, new followers on multiple platforms. I'm not a Dylan Gabriel hater. From the time that we drafted Dylan Gabriel, this was me, y'all. I was in the bed crying like Stewie. That night we drafted Dylan Gabriel, and the second night of the draft was over. Man, I was up till 2 in the morning. I was contemplating, can I go through another season of rooting for the Browns? Last season was tough. So a lot of people, they're here. They have this renewed energy. I've been a Browns fan my whole life. I've seen the ups. I've seen the downs. I went through the 0-16. I went through the 1-31. I went through so many bad seasons. And then going through that 3-14 last year? I went through that season. So I was streaming. Last year, I was streaming on TikTok before every Browns game and after every Browns game. Last two games of the season, I didn't make it. I didn't even watch the last two games of the season because it was just to the point. I was like, I can't take this anymore. This is too much. I can't keep going through this. Let me adjust my chat real quick. I was like, this is too much. I can't keep going through this. I can't keep looking at this poor product that they're putting on the field, and they want us to believe that this product is actually good. So, you know, I went through it, and that was me when we drafted Dylan Gabriel. Moving forward, my views on Dylan Gabriel haven't changed. I've always viewed Dylan Gabriel as a college quarterback where offenses had to be designed to play to his strengths, and you need dynamic talent on the outside. You need dynamic playmakers for him to succeed. Now, you marry that with Kevin Stefanski's offense, I don't see it working. So I'll give you three football reasons why I was not excited for the Dylan Gabriel pick. We got three right-handed quarterbacks, and he's a left-handed quarterback. His strengths are going to be different than the right-hand quarterback's strengths. His dominant hand is left hand. That was one. He's shorter than the other quarterbacks. So we're going to have to roll him out and move the pocket. The problem is you cut off half the field when you move the pocket and roll a player out. And also, people start to get those tendencies really easily that we're rolling you out or moving the pocket. Then you have the potential to have a lot of passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. And people say, oh, well, that didn't happen in college. Okay, that's cool. What happened to Baker Mayfield when he was in Cleveland? He had a decent amount of passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. So what people want you to do is they want you to go in these situations with this blind faith. They want you to be like, I know you saw this happen with Baker. I know you saw this happen with other guys. I know you see that majority of quarterbacks in the NFL are over 6 foot. But you know what? I'm going to trust the Browns. The Browns on this one, the entire NFL is wrong, and the Browns are right. That's what people are telling you to do when it comes to Dylan Gabriel, and they're saying wait until he plays. When he gets on the field, they're saying he's a gamer. So it went from he was great on the whiteboard, not so good at practice, now he's a gamer like Shador. And they want you to believe this. All right, cool. I'll try to believe it. But then those same people who want us to say the Browns are handling the quarterback position right, the Browns are, you know, we should have faith in them, all those people are up in arms for the last 24 hours since the Quinshon Judkin news has came out and since the Isaiah Bond rumors of him signing with the Browns and that news came out. But I thought we were trusting them. I thought we were trusting the organization. I thought we were trusting Andrew Berry. I thought we were trusting Kevin Stefanski with how they're handling this quarterback competition that they have a play in. Shouldn't you also trust them with the Quinshon Judkins? Shouldn't you also trust them if they decide to sign Isaiah Bond? Which one is it, y'all? Are we trusting them or are we not trusting them? Which one is it? So we're going to dig into all things Dylan Gabriel to start, and we're going to get a little bit into Shador. Unfortunate, Shador has the oblique injury. It's looking like we won't see him for the remainder of the preseason, which is a bummer because Shador definitely has been the bright spot on the Browns so far. He's been a beacon of hope for Browns fans and also Shador fans alike. So that's just a bummer. It's one of those things where, as a Browns fan, you don't always want to just go back to the Browns will be the Browns and something bad will happen, but you get so many examples of it happening. So that is the long open to the show. But shout out to y'all for being here. We're going to get right into this thing. Just to give you some quick updates, tomorrow, if Dylan Gabriel is a starter, I will be going live doing a live listening party for the Browns preseason game. breaking it down, giving my analysis as things unfold. It was Nathan Zagura was on 92.3 The Fan, and he said that now Dylan Gabriel is a game time decision. So that's a little shaky. I don't know why he would be a game time decision. He went through the practices the same way Shador did last week. It didn't seem like he had any setbacks. They haven't reported any setbacks, but now they're saying he's a game time decision. So I guess we'll wait and see what happens with Dylan Gabriel. But I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I'm a true Browns fan, diehard Browns fan, been a Browns fan my whole life. I am not sitting on a stream for 4 hours of Tyler Huntley playing in the preseason. And hopefully y'all don't knock me for this. I'm a struggle through watching Tyler Huntley in peace. You know, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things, like,
I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this.
That's going to be me if I was sitting on the stream with y'all for 4 hours watching Tyler Huntley in a preseason game. So I'm not going to punish y'all by me being on the stream for 4 hours if it's Tyler Huntley. If it's Dylan Gabriel and they announce it's Dylan Gabriel, look out for me. I will put, you know, the live, I'll schedule the live and everything, so we'll see. But once we get that word, Dylan Gabriel is a starter, we're going to be all systems go. We don't get that word, hey, y'all can't blame me. Y'all can't blame me. I seen too much bad as a Browns fan to watch a quarterback who's probably not going to be on the team in 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? We got 15 quarterbacks, so, you know, I just, you know, work with me, y'all. Work with me. So, I heard some very interesting things when it came to how they're describing Dylan Gabriel's struggles, and I've heard some people be very blunt in their assessment of Dylan Gabriel. So, what I like to do is, I like to use people's voices who are there, and they're putting eyes on these guys, and they're seeing how they're performing. So, with that being said, we're going to start off with, we got, Ross Tucker. He was on 92.3 The Fan this week. He was also on, Ross Tucker was also on UCSS. We got him up here. Had the final buttons here. So we are going to check out what Ross Tucker had to say. I believe this is when Tyvus is going to ask him how Dylan Gabriel looked in the joint practices in Philly. Let's go.
You got to watch him. ESPN Cleveland does the quarterback tracker thing. They said he was 6 of 19 with 2 touchdowns. When you hear 6 of 19, a lot of people is like, that's terrible, but you see 2 touchdowns. You got to see him live. What do you think of him, and what do you think he needs to do in the preseason game Saturday to make people go, okay? Because right now, Shador got the whole fan base like, this is, we don't need to see nobody else. Shador is the guy. What does Dylan Gabriel need to do in the game Saturday to be like, all right, it's a fair competition?
Well, let's hope he plays Saturday, because he played a bunch in the joint practice yesterday, so you would think he'd be able to play on Saturday. I got a quick story for you guys, by the way, about Dylan Gabriel. 2018, for CBS Sports Network, I called UCF against East Carolina. Dylan Gabriel was the starting quarterback for UCF. His star wide receiver was Gabe Davis, okay?
Wow.
Fast 2018. Forward,
2018.
Oh, my God.
All right. Man, y'all know I don't like to keep pausing these things, but even the first time that I heard this, I kind of couldn't believe it was true. Dylan Gabriel started a game that he called in 2018. We're in year 2025. Dylan Gabriel is a rookie quarterback in the NFL. So I know, I don't joke that often with numbers, but when I joke with numbers, I over-exaggerate, so it's very clear that I'm joking. Like I just said, we got 15 quarterbacks. That was 7 years ago. 7 years ago, around this time, he was calling a game for Dylan Gabriel, and his number one receiver was Gabe Davis, who's been in the NFL and been on multiple teams at this point. This is crazy. Let's move along. Let's keep listening. Let's hear Ross out.
Forward, it's 2025, okay?
Yeah.
Gabe Davis played his 4-year contract with the Bills, got a big contract with the Jags, played there last year, his 5th year in the NFL, and got hurt. Gabe Davis is going to be on his 3rd team and his 6th year whenever he signs with somebody in the next 2 weeks. And Dylan Gabriel is just now entering the NFL. Like, that's unbelievable. Man, he looks little out there. I mean, he looks super little. That's okay. You know, that's become more of a popular thing with guys like Bryce Young and, to some extent, Kyler Murray, Tua, Baker, whatever. You know, in fairness to him, you know, I would say half of those 19 passes were bootlegs where they got Gabriel on the move, so the hamstring must be okay, and nobody was really open. I mean, credit the Eagles. I told you they didn't look great, but they were certainly prepared for bootlegs because every time Gabriel booted out, he just running, patting the ball, nobody was there, and he had to throw it away. It was not like he was missing throws or he was scattershot that I saw. It was mainly on these boots that nobody was open, and he kind of just had to dirt the ball or throw it away.
Does that make them too predictable with him? Because you can't just let him stand in the pocket. He does have to move. You do have to move. All
right, Beast. I see you. I would love for Shador to play tomorrow. I would love to see Shador play tomorrow. Just I'll tell you selfishly, as a streamer, I would love to see Shador play. As a Browns fan, I would love to see Shador play. But I think they're going to play it safe. Because he looked so good when he was in the first outing, which wasn't the ideal circumstances for him. So, I mean, if Shador is playing, you're going to see me tomorrow. If it's Tyler Huntley and only Tyler Huntley, y'all not going to see me tomorrow. But I would love it with Shador and Dylan Gabriel. This is what happens when Kevin Stefanski is not that transparent. So it leaves so much room for speculation and guessing. You have so many coaches who just come out and say, this is who's going to play. This is the preseason. You're not really getting the competitive advantage by announcing them as a game-time decision and all this stuff. So, you know, it is what it is. But I would definitely like to see Shador. But if they play it safe, we probably won't see him for the rest of the preseason. I don't think it's terrible, his injury, but I think they'll proceed with caution only because the timing of it. Because now they kind of got some built-in excuses. They can say, you know, preseason game three, if he doesn't play tomorrow, preseason game three, we got to get the starters ready. We got to give them some snaps. If Kenny Pickett ends up being healthy, we got to get some tape on Kenny Pickett. So I think that's the excuse that they'll use. And then they'll just say, we're just going to proceed with caution with Shador. So I can see them saying that. I fully agree, but that's what I can see happening. All right. So back to Russ Tucker just said about a lot of bootlegs. Making them predictable, having to move the pocket. Jeremy, I agree with that. If we could see Gabriel and Pickett tomorrow, I think that would be great. It's not looking like it's gonna stack up to be that way. So let's move this over just slightly. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I agree. I don't have the highest view of Gabriel and Pickett. So if they could go out there and prove me wrong, it would be great. I wouldn't be rooting against them. I just don't have faith in them. You know what's crazy? So the Browns, they retooled their entire training staff. So this is a new training staff. So I do think it's – let me use the right word. I think it's strange the type of injuries that guys are having. These soft tissue injuries just seem strange. I think it's to the quarterbacks. So it's to the more high stress guys who are competing. That's why I think like this whole competition, it just added levels of complexity that didn't need to be there. And then you might have guys playing when they probably wouldn't normally be playing. If Kenny Pickett knew that, so it's like a trickle-down effect. If Kenny Pickett knew that Joe Flacco was a starter, he would just be resting up and trying to get healthy. Then the trickle-down would be there would be more 7-on-7 reps for other QBs like Gabriel and Shador. And then if Shador knew he was getting more reps with the other guys injured, he's not doing the 40 minutes of throwing before practice, you know, 40 minutes of throwing after practice. So it's just a trickle-down of bad situations getting worse because one initial decision wasn't made. So that's kind of how I view like the injury portion of it. So just bad situations. Let's get to the next video. So that was Ross Tucker. So what people want to do is I had people coming at me on my TikTok basically saying I didn't watch Dylan Gabriel, which is false, but even if I didn't watch him, I'm not at these joint practices. They're not at joint practices. And look what people are saying. See, I disagree. Shador was injured in college. Shador was injured. People forget this. The first year in Colorado, Shador did not start the last game of the year because of his back. So Shador was injured in college. This is how I view injuries. I spoke on this during the NBA season. If the actual person says they're injured and they report the injury, I'm going to take that person at their word. I'm not going to question if guys are injured, if guys are not injured. That's a slippery slope. It kind of leads you to nowhere. Shador wasn't often injured, but he was injured in college. He did miss the last start of the first year in Colorado because of his back. And also, I'm taking Shador at his word. When we thought that the sore shoulder was a made-up, or not we, but when people thought the sore shoulder was a made-up thing, Shador confirmed it in his press conference. So I'm not going to believe certain things that Shador says and then call him a liar other instances. So if he's saying he's injured, I'm going to believe him. I'm going to take his word at it. So that's my philosophy on viewing guys who are injured. It's either you believe they're injured or you don't. And I'm going to always take their word on it. Let's get to the next person. Next person we got is Albert Breer. So Albert Breer, he was the one who came out and said that Shador couldn't read the playbook. Shador was behind in the classroom. He was pressed. Not even pressed. He was asked a very direct question. I didn't say I believe that. I don't believe when people say Shador can't read defense. I don't believe it. I'm just stating that that's what people said. I agree with you. Football players do. Football players are responding very positive to Shador. So when they were saying pre-draft, post-draft, that we don't know how he's going to fit in the locker room, I don't know why they ever said that. If you look at who Shador said he was closest with when he was in college, was usually the lineman. So I don't know why they would think he couldn't get along with people. It was just more people are bad at their job than people want to admit to. Right? That's just a fact. That's what it is. You know, we want to give people credit because they're on TV, but then we see that they did minimal to zero research on Shador pre-draft, but they want to speak on how they think he's going to do and how he is as a person. We see people like Rob Parker, who was on UCSS last week, say Shador, he thinks he's going to be out the league, but he never watched nothing but highlights. So the thing is now, as people speak more to try to build themselves up and expand their brands personally, we're going to see that these people just are bad at their job. You cannot tell me about how you believe a player has performed and will perform without watching that player's full games. I can't believe what those people say. So it's more bad people than we think. Bad people are doing their job. Albert Breer, I believe, is one of those people. So Albert Breer is here. Another thing I'll say about Albert Breer is a person who I believe just gets fed information. He repeats the information, and he rarely goes into what his thoughts are. And I think those people kind of, they play in the gray area. That's why my title of my podcast, Eliminate the Gray. Without a doubt, Shador will make the 53-man roster. Without a doubt. It's not even a question. A couple reasons why. If Andrew Berry drafts you, he at least gives you 2 seasons. Even if you shouldn't be close to a football field, he'll give you 2 seasons. So that's one. Also, Shador is too big of a name. And the risk of getting it wrong on Shador is too great for them to move off Shador and him not to make the team. Long term, Shador has the highest ceiling of what you can get out of the 4 quarterbacks. Dang. Actually, the 6 quarterbacks that we technically have in the roster. So there's no way Shador doesn't make the team. So those are my 3 reasons why. Back to Albert Breer. They're going to ask him about the Cleveland Browns depth chart. And this is going to be his answer. So remember, he came out and was very definitive when he was saying Shador can't read a playbook. But this is what he's going to say when they ask him about the Cleveland Browns depth chart. This is courtesy of 92 The Fan. This is Afternoon Drive on 92 The Fan. Let's go.
If you put a kid in there who's not ready or not capable of doing the job, that's probably the fastest way, you know, a coach can get to losing his team.
Browns came out with their second unofficial quarterback depth chart, and it went Joe Flacco 1, Kenny Pickett 2, Dylan Gabriel 3, Shador 4. It's the same as the original one. If I were to have you rank out what you think the Browns depth chart should be right now, how would you do it?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't been there every day. You know what I mean? But
Albert, we're not going to let you get away with that. A week ago, I covered the video. You went on Rich Eisen. On Rich Eisen, you said Shador was behind in the classroom. He had some things he had to come up to speed on. You said that he had problems relaying the plays. He had problems getting everybody lined up in the huddle. He had problems getting everybody to the line of scrimmage. He had process issues. That's what you said. You said it with your chest. Now, you haven't been at every practice. You don't really know. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. So we got to ask the question. Did you come up with those things that you said about Shador, or you fed those things and you just put it out there? You were a microphone for something, someone within the Browns and what they wanted you to get out. I'm going to take the latter. I'm going to say he was used as a microphone to say or get things out that, for whatever reason, someone within the Browns wanted him to get out about Shador. I think that the Browns are trying to fight the media storm. Because of Shador's popularity, they're trying to send messages out here. So as soon as more people question things about the Dylan Gabriel pick and Shador Sanders pick and why would you draft two quarterbacks later in the draft and all these things, oh, we start getting reports. Nobody ever heard reports that people wanted to draft for Dylan Gabriel. Now we got teams called. They wanted, multiple teams wanted to draft Dylan Gabriel, wanted to trade for Dylan Gabriel. I ain't believing it. I'm not believing it. And then also, these guys who don't really have an opinion, they've been slipping up because they've been hitting all the airwaves. Everybody's calling them. What do you know about the Browns and Shador? They've been slipping up by saying the Browns want to make sure they control the narrative when it comes to Shador. They've also been saying they want to make sure they don't succumb to outside pressure to play Shador before they believe he's ready. So if they're sprinkling those things out, I think people hate on Shador because he's polarizing, and I think people also hate on Shador because he's successful and he comes from a successful family, and people want to see people who they believe they watched kind of get it out the mud. You know, they want to see the person who was crying on draft day, who mom had $12 and the coaches had to pay for his cleats. They want to root for that type of person, but they don't want to root for the person who had a active father, one of the greatest athletes of all time, who was constantly breaking down barriers and reaching new heights. They don't want to root for that person because they believe that person is entitled. They believe that person had an advantage. They believe that person was given opportunities that they didn't deserve. What they don't realize is the father did all the work to make sure he can put the sons in a position to be successful. If you have children, I have a daughter, it's nothing you wouldn't do to make sure you set your kids up and put them in a good spot. And people say they like that, and that's what people do in their everyday life, but then they hate on Shador for being a recipient of it. It's no different than Bronny. People hate on Bronny because LeBron uses power to get Bronny into the NBA in the spot that he wanted him in. And everybody learned what nepotism was when Bronny got drafted, even though he was one of the last picks in the NBA draft. You know when they didn't say anything about nepotism? When Danny Ainge, when his son gets hired in the front office of the Utah Jazz, and Danny Ainge was working for the Utah Jazz. They don't talk about nepotism when an owner passes down his team to his children and they run it. They don't talk about nepotism then. So it's just certain people that they want to hate on. And those are the reasons why they hate on Shador. I don't think Shador is a bad guy. I think Shador is a really good guy with a really good heart. Also, people think that the draft broke Shador, and people always say, oh, they're trying to break him. I don't think Shador would let them break him. So I don't think that's going to work as a strategy. But yeah, that's Albert Breer. That's him. That's an L take from Albert Breer. Him, he now he don't know. He don't watch them enough to talk about them, the depth chart. But he knows enough to say Shador can't read the playbook. So that's going to be an L from him. Let's get to Mary Kay. Now, I will tell y'all, I said it months ago when Mary Kay put out what she would do in the draft. This is another one. This is Baskin and Phelps. This is from 92.3 The Fan. I use a couple of their videos, so fair use for all the videos I'm using. 92.3 The Fan has some good guests on this week with some good insight, or at least good for content. Mary Kay is going to give a reason for Dylan Gabriel's struggles that I've never heard before from a rookie late round draft pick. Listen to what I'm saying. Rookie late round draft pick. Now, if Dylan Gabriel was a Cam Ward, this makes sense. If Dylan Gabriel was Caleb Williams, this makes sense. Never heard this from a late round draft pick who was always believed to be a backup in the NFL. Let's go, Mary Kay. What you got to say?
Thought of Dylan Gabriel so far.
Well, here's the thing to remember about Dylan Gabriel, and a lot of people lose sight about this. Dylan Gabriel was asked to do so much more than Shador Sanders has been asked to do so far in Browns training camp. He and Kenny Pickett were bearing the brunt of the installation of the new offense. They were being tasked with trying to figure out what was going to work, what wasn't going to work. So the concepts, the calls, everything was a lot more for.
So I have a question for y'all in the chat. Have y'all ever heard of a late round quarterback, third round, designing the offense for the team that he was drafted by? Have y'all ever heard that? I've never heard that before. I've never heard. She's also going to say his efficiency took a hit because he was doing this. Have y'all ever heard that before? I've never heard that before. Now, when we start to hear stuff out of the ordinary, that's when my antennas perk up and I really start to question what people are saying to me and what they're trying to get me to believe. And when I heard this, I promise y'all, I listened to this 10 times. I kept playing it back. I'm like, I have to be making this up. This can't be what I just heard her say. And I went back and I was like, that's exactly what she said. So now the excuse for Dylan Gabriel, when he goes 6 for 19, when he goes 1 for 7, when he goes 3 for 14, the reason that Mary Kay just gave us was he is taking a hit to design the offense. Mary Kay, you messed up. You put two people's names in there. Kenny Pickett, you put Kenny Pickett's name in there. Kenny Pickett has looked better in 7-on-7s the whole time playing with an injured hamstring. So how come only Dylan Gabriel, who was tasked with designing the offense as a rookie quarterback, how come he doesn't look as bad as Gabriel? That's where you messed up, Mary Kay. See, sometimes we get these people, they're reporters, they get inside information. And I remember telling people, hey, don't go to Mary Kay for anything with her analyzing the game. I said that, you know, months ago. And people were like, it's nothing to go to her for. And I was like, no. I was like, it's actually something you can go to Mary Kay for. She will get insider leaks from the Browns. Who was the first person to report it? Shador Sanders was going to start the Carolina Panthers preseason game. Mary Kay. Mary Kay was the first person to report that. She reported it hours before everybody else. So it's going to be certain things that the Browns are going to, you know, get out to the media through her. And also, they're going to give her, you know, some big things. How big of a story is it that you're the person that broke that Shador was actually going to be the starter? Crazy big story. So that was Mary Kay there. Let's play a little bit more of this, because when people are jumping through all these hoops, I think what they're trying to do is they are trying to lower the bar of expectation for this person. That's what I see. So let's see what else she has to say.
For Dylan than it was for Shador. And both of them have done a really nice job with what they have been asked to do. Dylan's sacrificed efficiency at times for, you know, in the name of trying to help get this new offense up and running. So that's what people have to think about when they think of
Mary Kay. We're not going to let you do that. You know why we're not going to let you do that? Because they are going back to the Kevin Stefanski offense that he felt the most comfortable running. And they have the offensive line who has ran this system, excelled in this system. They have Joe Flacco, who's going to be the starter, who has excelled in this system. So you're not going to get me to believe the rookie we drafted in the third round that we love so much that we traded up in the fifth round to draft another guy at his same position, you're not going to get me to believe that he the one designing the offense. Is he a coach or is he a player? Is he a coach or is he a player, Mary Kay? Shout out to my cousin. Shout out to my cousin Jamie. He commented on one of my videos, and he said that Dillon Gabriel is going to be a QB coach in 2 years. He was on to something. He knew something that I didn't know. He was on to something because maybe he had insight that really Dillon Gabriel is out here coaching. He out here coaching. He ain't out here playing. So shout out to him. He has some insight I ain't know about. Let's see what else Mary Kay got to make up for us.
About Dillon Gabriel. And, you know, now he's had the hamstring, so he really hasn't had an opportunity to show what he can do when maybe they have pared down the offense a little bit or streamlined it a bit to do the things that he does really well.
Let's size up some other positions. What do we learn about
Mary Kay? That doesn't match. You said he is taking a hit to his efficiency because he's helping design the offense. And in the same breath, you said they had to pare it down and they're not doing things that he's good at. So he's designing an offense that he's not good at. He's designing an offense that he's going to struggle in. He's designing an offense that's not going to work for him. That ain't going to work, Mary Kay. It ain't going to work. I know that they are trying to temper the expectations for Dillon Gabriel. I don't think Dillon Gabriel is going to do well either. I'm not looking to see him fail. I just don't have faith in him performing. And I've always felt that way. But they are really making it where they're putting him so high on this pedestal. Everybody wants to see with their own two eyes. They are putting so much pressure on Dillon Gabriel. Last week, after Shador's performance, in my recap video of things that I thought after the Browns won, first thing I said was Shador raised the bar, and also the Browns are setting up Dillon Gabriel to fail. And the reason why I said that was because everywhere we looked, everybody has heard that Dillon Gabriel is so good at processing, he's so good at the whiteboard, now he's designing the offense. He's not showing it in practice. In practice, everybody is saying he's not good. He's not looking good. He's indecisive. His accuracy is not there. Everybody wants to see it. So if Dillon Gabriel goes out there, let's go through the stat lines on what you think that everybody will just go crazy about. If Dillon Gabriel goes out there and he throws 150 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, people will say, okay, he's on par with Shador. If he goes out there and he throws for 100 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, it's going to be shaky. They're going to be coming at him. If he goes out there and throws 2 picks, no touchdowns, and the offense can't move, the world is going to crash. The national media is going to expose what we as fans already see with the Browns' decision-making. It's going to make people believe that when people were saying that the Browns are setting up Shador to fail, they're going to believe it because now they're putting Dillon Gabriel out there and he's not performing and he's supposedly the reason why Shador can't get more work. So that's why I was saying they're setting him up to fail, because I don't think he's going to go out there and make the quality of throws as Shador. I don't think he's going to move in the pocket like Shador moved in the pocket. So they're setting him up to fail. And I don't think the Browns are smart enough to sabotage Shador. I think it's incompetence. Dang, I got to work on my bad. You said Dillon's trash. I saw that. My Streamlabs, my bot is like, my bot don't play. So they kind of shut it down. But I got to temper the bot. Say, hey, you could chill out, relax. Let my people live. They here. They chiming in. Let them live. And I did catch the beginning of that. I don't want to say he's trash yet, but if he come out here and is trash, I'm just gonna call him trash. I don't think he's good. That's the bar for me. So he can look better, but I don't see it. I don't see it at all. So we got Ross Tucker. I would love to see Shador in the third preseason game because I don't think he could do anything but build up from there. I just hope that they give him the opportunity to play. I know that Kevin Stefanski is doing something different. So for the last couple of years, Kevin Stefanski hasn't played starters in the preseason. And it kind of came out today, I think. Nathan Zagura said that Kevin Stefanski on a show they did last night said that most starters will play in the third game. So it all depends on how long they play. So if the starters play like the whole first half, then I think it'll be cool. If they play like a couple series, Shador might play if he's healthy, if they let him. But otherwise, I think it's probably going to be Pickett and Flacco for next week. Maybe Dillon Gabriel. I don't know. We don't know if Dillon Gabriel's healthy or not healthy. So we'll have to see about that. But that was Ross Tucker. That was Albert Breer. That was Mary Kay making excuses. Who we got next? So we have, this is 92 The Fan again. This is the Afternoon Drive. This is Elliot Parks. He is a beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Funny thing, everybody always questions the Browns QB tracker, but he's going to say in a longer version of this that he's been doing the QB tracker for the Eagles the last... Gino. You might be onto something, my friend. He throws some pick sixes. It's nothing they're going to be able to say. I'm pretty sure Kevin Stefanski will get on the podium press conference, and he will start it off by saying, you know, we had some guys that look good. We had some guys who didn't look good. Definitely some things that we want to clean up. We want to be a football team that doesn't have a lot of turnovers. We had some turnovers in this game that we want to correct. We're going to go into this week. We're going to review the film, and we're going to come back better for it next week. Book it. That is what Kevin Stefanski is going to say. I've watched enough press conference of Kevin Stefanski to know that he doesn't say anything, but at the same time, he's going to say 50 words. It's going to be a word salad. So that's what he's going to say if Dillon Gabriel throws two pick sixes. If he throws two. If he throws three, he might even say that. If he throws one, he's definitely going to say that. So that's, you can book it. That's what he's going to say. Hey, Chris, All we could do is wait till he get out there. I don't think he's good, but the Browns are saying he's good, and the Browns are holding back somebody that is universally viewed as better. So it doesn't make sense. Let's get to Elliot Parks, which this is going to be funny what he says. This is somebody else. So when people just say, oh, man, it's Shador people who are hating on Dillon, I don't think so. Everybody is looking at him and saying, I don't see it. So this is Elliot. Let's get to Elliot.
How did Dillon Gabriel look?
I would not be putting stock in Dillon Gabriel as a future quarterback of this team if I were Browns fans. I thought he was probably better today than he was yesterday. But I'm skeptical after watching him for 2 days. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see Sanders practice. Obviously, he didn't practice the last.
So now I'm a person. I'm always asking questions. I have another question. Just like everybody wanted to say, it was conspiracy theories why Shador, you know, wasn't getting the reps, wasn't getting the opportunities, even though everybody sees that he's better. Not for the little Giants. Hey, be from Ohio. You wild for that. Hey, you wild for that. That's funny. He might not even be the tallest on the team. Let me leave him alone. I ain't even going to go down that road. Now people are saying there's all these conspiracy theories about Shador. Could we flip it and say it's all these conspiracy theories and everybody just out to get Dillon because they don't like him? Could we flip it and say that? Or is it real that people just aren't seeing good things from Dillon Gabriel? Which one do you think it is? I think it's that people are not seeing good things from Dillon Gabriel. I don't think this is a situation where people are just all coming together. You know what? This is crazy. Y'all know what they're accusing us of? They are accusing us of colluding against Dillon Gabriel, and we are saying that he is not getting a fair shot. That's what they're saying. They said we colluding against Dillon Gabriel. They're saying we got other people in the media colluding against him. They are saying the fans are colluding against him. So everybody's just colluding against Dillon Gabriel. They shot it down that the NFL might have colluded against Shador. Then it comes out that the NFL colluded against these other quarterbacks when they were in contract years, and people just skip past that. So we're going to learn more about the NFL. We're going to learn more about the NFL because you see that John Gruden case is able to be in open court. The NFL is most likely going to appeal. We also get to see that the defensive coordinator, man, every time I want to speak on this defensive coordinator, his name slipped my mind. He's a defensive coordinator in Minnesota. He was the head coach in Miami. His lawsuit against the NFL has also been able to go forward. So people are uncomfortable when the truth comes out, when they believe things are handled differently. So people just avoid it like it's not there, like it didn't happen. But the NFL could potentially be lined up to take some big hits. Chris, I saw that. So Brian Flores, thank you, and shout out to you. Yes, Brian Flores, his lawsuit is able to go forward. So if these things go forward in open court, people are going to learn more about the NFL. People are going to learn more about the NFL than they want to know. They're going to see it. It's going to all get put out there because what people always go to is they go to the NFL smart. They make all this money. It's the number one league. The owners do everything great. They always go to that. But, hey, we're going to see the other side of it. We're going to see how it looks. You know what's funny about that, Chris? Dillon Gabriel was so confident when he was in rookie minicamp. He was so confident when he took the podium. When I listened to him, I was like, man, he sounds like a quarterback. He has the cadence of a quarterback when he speaks. When I heard him say, I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday. I'm just where my feet are. I was like, ooh. Ooh. I see the Browns in their attempt to slow down the praise for Shador. They put Dillon. How do we know how Dillon Gabriel's going to handle all this pressure? Because in practice, he's not handling the pressure well. So they put him in a terrible spot, and it's going to be on him. It's going to be on him to figure it out. So maybe, like I said, maybe we all just colluded against Dillon Gabriel, and we all want to see him do bad. So maybe that's what it is. We're going to see. I got another one from Albert Beer. What I got this time?
To across the NFL about Shador on Friday night.
So now we're going to switch it. We're going to go to Shador news. This is going to be us looking at, oh man, he's shaking in his boots. He like this. Let me see. Where's my thing at? He's sitting there. How you feel about being a starter? He's sweating. You know, y'all remember that show. They like, man, you want to phone a friend? Chris, I said the same thing. Shador set the bar. People were trying to tell me, I put clips on my TikTok. They were trying to tell me that Shador didn't set the bar. I was like, you crazy. If Shador didn't set the bar, why did the quarterbacks perform the best the first practice after Shador's game? He put pressure on everybody because NFL players know NFL talent. They know NFL talent. So they know that, man, if he did this and the team is not really pouring into him, what could he do if the team was pouring into him? What could Shador do if he's getting consistent reps and he's not going to have to do extra work? You know what I'm saying? And he's going to be like Willie Beeman. So they know that if they poured into Shador, they know that he could do a lot better. So it's one of those things, man. They put him in a very, very tough spot. This is more of where people who don't like Shador, this is what they don't want to hear. But listen to what Albert Breer is going to say. He heard from other people within the NFL. See, I listen to this stuff, and I'm like, man, this tells you how they view people. So this is Albert Breer. Let's get to it.
Everybody's insane to be talking about it like they are, and that if people see one more first take segment on it, they want to throw their TVs out the window. I mean, it's at the point now where, I mean, just let the guy be a rookie. You know what I mean? Like, we don't, I like, it's he had a couple of nice throws against a really vanilla defense, you know, a defense that wasn't running much, that had his backups in the game. And
Albert, we're not going to let you get away with that. You know why we're not going to let you get away with that? So you're going to diminish what Shador did. What is everybody saying about Jackson Dart? What did everybody say about Jackson Dart this week? Man, Jackson Dart, he really looked good. He hung in there. He threw that deep touchdown pass. It was right on the money. He stared down the barrel and made the throw. So this is the question. Do we get to push the door on the same level as the Cam Ward and the Jackson Darts? Or do we got to calm down and us have an excitement for seeing him perform? Which one is it? Does preseason matter, or is it vanilla defenses? If you tell me it's all vanilla defenses, I don't think any of it matters, I would say, you know what? I don't agree with you, but I respect you saying that. But if you're going to pick and choose who it matters for and who it doesn't matter for, I can't rock with you because you don't stand on anything. See, the undertone to everything I do is I stand on something. I put out there how I feel. You got to put out there how you really feel. But a lot of these guys in the media, they play them both sides of it. They're playing both sides. They want to speak like their analysis matters. You get asked a question about your analysis, you got no answers. Well, I mean, I wasn't there every day, so, you know, I don't really know if the depth chart makes sense. Then you tell me, I mean, he made some good throws, but if I got to see one more first take segment, don't turn first take on. It's simple. If I don't want to think about what first take does, I don't watch it. I think that's true, too. The Dart, I wasn't as high on Dart as everybody else. The thing that concerned me about Dart was I watched when he was with John Gruden, and John Gruden asked him basic questions. He asked him if he was like, okay, what was your cadence when you went to the line of scrimmage? And he clapped. And that was his cadence. So I was like, okay, that's going to take a learning curve. Then you put him in a big market like New York. You got the GM and the head coach both on the hot seat. You got people flying things over the stadium during games, you know what I'm saying, saying that the owner should sell the team, fire everybody. That's not a good spot to go in and try to develop because your timeline is going to get sped up. You're expected to be the savior. We traded up to get you. So I don't ever think that's a good position. They're going to get sick of Russell Wilson soon because he plays it super safe, and their jobs are on the line. So I agree. I don't know why they picked Gabriel and put him in his position of making him the team spokesperson and mascot, but that's what they did. So they did it, so now they got to live with the consequences of it. I noticed something. So everybody looked at when the draft call, all the draft calls for Cleveland Browns happened, when the Shador one happened, people had questions. I had questions when the draft call happened for Dylan Gabriel. When they called Quinshon Judkins and Quinshon Judkins' mom answered the phone because he was getting something to drink, they did not interact with Quinshon Judkins' mom the same way they interacted with Dylan Gabriel's mom. When they're like, hi, mom, and all this stuff, I was like, that's different. The player y'all drafted before him, mom answered the phone, and y'all just said what's up and kept it moving. It was that awkward silence while she was going to find him. And they just kind of laughed like, oh, look, he's not on the phone. And then when they called Dylan Gabriel, they were saying what's up to the family. I was like, that's curious. So they did this. That's why I say the Browns are they're incompetent. They're making things harder on themselves. So fiesta. Hey, it's weird, though. They are not even saying. They're talking about Dylan Gabriel's going to be a game-time decision if he's going to play. Chris, I'm reading what you said about Jackson Dart. Pressure is a totally different thing. I saw somebody who is a NFL consultant, and they evaluate quarterbacks, and they asked him, what does he look for? And the first thing he said was he looks at how they perform in pressure moments. So the first thing he does is he looked at third down first. So before you look at all the fluff of the game, before you look at all the stats that build up, he starts by looking at how they perform on third down. He then looks at how they perform when they're down in the fourth quarter. And that tells him what the basis of he has. That gives him a baseline for what this quarterback can be. And Jackson Dart was one of those ones under pressure who kind of just – it was hard for him. But Jackson Dart is a weird case because the type of offense that they run, they run an offense where you don't really make that many decisions. If you look at guys who came from Lane Kiffin, it takes them either time to work in the NFL to get up to speed and understand it because Lane Kiffin is an offensive genius, or they just struggle. And look at, I want to say Matt Corral, who was, I think he spent some time on Atlanta. I mean, he out the league. You know what I'm saying? These guys look great in college, and it was an offensive system. So, you know, I put weight into guys who were their offensive play caller was so good, they didn't make any decisions. So, that's how I say about them. That's what we got about Albert Breer. Let's move this thing forward. So, controversial. A lot of people, if you're a Cleveland sports fan, you watch Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, they had Sean King on there this week. And Sean King got it massively wrong. Dang, my Streamlabs going crazy. DB? Are you, did you mean to say DG? Are you trying to say Dylan Gabriel Malik? And I think they're definitely trying to hide the fact that he's going to struggle. I remember Kevin Stefanski said that Dylan Gabriel's height didn't show up on film. It didn't show up in practice. And then he's getting ball passes. He can passes swatted down. And then also he's throwing interception. Hey, I'm jealous of, man, you're an Eagles fan. I'm jealous of the Eagles, man. I can put it out there. I'm a Browns fan. I'm jealous of y'all. For whatever reason, y'all hit so big. Y'all were the first one, not the first ones, but y'all really just dug in that Georgia well for defensive linemen. Y'all didn't hide away from it. Y'all took some guys who other teams were scared of, and then it looks like that's going to pay off big time. Y'all basically stole Saquon Barkley from the Eagles. They have sustainable their success should be sustainable because they built it through the offensive line and defensive line. And then y'all somehow stole A.J. Brown from Tennessee, and the person that they drafted with that draft pick, they already had to release him. So I'm jealous of the Eagles. I can say it. See, the difference with me is if I have bias, I'm just going to flat out tell you what my bias is. I'm not just going to say a bunch of bad things about the Eagles, and then really it's because I'm jealous of their success. No, I want the team that I root for to have the same success as the Eagles. So I just tell you, hey, I got some bias there. So this was kind of controversial, and I'm going to tell y'all the point that a lot of these guys are making a mistake. So this is Sean King on UCSS. This don't look too good. Let me up the take this up. So. Hey, shout out to you, Ant. I used to watch Coach JB. I used to watch their show last year. He is taking the Jason Whitlock approach where they talk from a place of they understand, and then they just say outlandish things to try to draw in attention. So once I saw that, I stopped watching the show. And every week last year, he was picking against Colorado, and he always was moving the goalpost on why when he picked against Colorado, why he did it. So I just couldn't get with it. My four hands. Okay. All right, Malik. Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I don't know. I don't know about people who take that, that shock approach, because I know they don't believe what they're saying. That was a Skip Bayless special. Do say something crazy, say something outlandish. That's what it is. I mean, we all do this for clicks and views, but some people will take a different approach. I'd rather people get to know me and like what I'm putting out and like what I'm saying, like my consistency, and then say I'll tap in. I wouldn't want people to come here thinking they're going to get my view on sports, and then I'm just saying a whole bunch of crazy stuff to get people tuned in. So it's going to be stories that I don't even really touch like that because I don't want to turn into a soap opera. And that's what these guys have figured out for YouTube. They just care about how many clicks and views they get. So they turn it into soap operas where everything is dramatic, everything is outlandish, everything is shock value, everything is to push pressure points and emotion out of people, which I do it to a degree because you have to do it on YouTube, but I don't do it to the level that they do it to. So, yeah, he's super controversial. He even brings in, like, politics into when he's speaking on sports and, you know, they're crossing all these paths and, you know, I don't want to take that approach. You know, if it takes me 4 years to get monetized and to get people watching me and to get steady viewership, I'd rather take that approach than me just cover all of the sports gossip. You know, oh, when Shannon Sharpe is going through stuff, let me cover that. When this person is going through something, let me cover that. Let me take, you know, that would be like this year if I went and said, okay, I'm going to root against Arch Manning and everything he does and hope he fails. So, yeah, that's why, you know, you open up another can of worms when you take that approach. You know, so that's why I choose not to take that approach. And then, you know, guys go through demonetization and then they got to wait, you know what I'm saying, trying to get their channels back. And I don't want to invite that on myself, knowing that that's going to be the outcome. So, you know, I avoid that. So shout out to you, Chris. Great comments. Let's get to Sean King and what Sean King had to say.
To not just who wins this competition, but that the locker room has full respect for who wins this competition than Kevin Stefanski. Because he's seen what his team looks like when the quarterback is talented, but the locker room don't fully respect or follow the guy that's under center. And I will say this last thing about Shador. Cut the BS out, man. Just play football. He got a chance to be such a good player. It's like, it doesn't even seem like organic and real when he does it either. Like, he'll run for an 8 yard and then he gets up. And what is the wrist thing? Is that
I like that.
That's the
We got to have that.
Get you a Richard Milley.
Under no circumstances, the wrist goes nowhere.
So, it's a big problem with these guys. Shout out to you. I appreciate you. It's a big problem with these guys as they get older. They become old men. They get the gray. I got the gray too, y'all. I got the gray too. But one thing I really try to not fall into the trap of not thinking about how I was when I was the guy's age who I'm speaking on. That's the trap they fall into. So this man, actually, let me, I don't want this dude tongue out on my
tongue. Now he might have to.
Let me fix this. So I don't think that Shador has BS. Find me the BS. Facts. My four hands. Shout out. Yeah, G-Bush is the only one that, and you notice, G-Bush didn't hesitate in that spot. G-Bush did not hesitate. He was like, no, I like that. How do you take away what got a person here? So confidence is the thing that you really need in sports. Let's use Bryce Young. Bryce Young, number one overall pick. Frank Wright was the head coach, and he was supposed to be a quarterback guru. Frank Wright didn't want Bryce Young. Bryce Young struggled because they were killing his confidence because you got a guy who don't believe in you. Then what happens? Last year, Bryce Young, he starts the year. Canales makes him the starter. They call it early to build up his confidence. He's not performing. They got to sit him down. They bring him back up. They build up his confidence. Bryce Young is a totally different player this year because they're building his confidence back. Look at Bryce Young in press conferences. Look at how he speaks. They said, oh, this year Bryce Young is talking trash to the DBs and the defense in practice. That's confidence. Confidence is the thing that gets you there. Facts, they are scared of they have created a monster, and now Dillon Gabriel got to come out there and look like, you know what I'm saying, Lamar or Josh Allen. If he doesn't, the whole world is going to flame the Browns. And that's what people say, oh, the Browns don't care about that. Yes, they do, because now they're not making a decision on if he's going to start or not. So you can't kill people's confidence. So I don't want people to change who they are. Who you are is how you got here. I don't want people to. Facts. That's a totally agree. Them saying he's a game time decision. Last week at this time, we already knew Shador was starting. Now this week, when Dillon Gabriel went through practices, no setbacks. We don't know if he started. It's like, all right, what y'all trying to do? That don't make sense. So, and also shout out to you, and I appreciate that. When these guys get up here and they say, "Oh, lose this or what is that?" Is he the only person celebrating in the NFL? Now, if it was one person celebrating in the NFL and it was Shador and nobody else was celebrating, they have an argument. They don't have an argument because he didn't even call out anybody else for celebrating on the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns are a team that when we got Jim Schwartz, he told our defense they better celebrate when they make plays. They were getting scolded for not celebrating. So now you're telling the most important position, tone down what made you because I don't feel comfortable with it? That's trash. That's trash. And then also, they say, oh, cut the BS. What is this BS you speak of? What is this BS you speak of? I can't find the BS. Do y'all see the BS? What BS is Shador Sanders doing? What is Shador doing since he's been on the Browns? He got the speeding tickets. But you know what made the speeding tickets not that bad? Myles Garrett on his 8th speeding ticket since he's been in Cleveland. And you don't see the same thing that they're saying about Myles Garrett, about Shador, when they did the exact same thing, going very similar speeds. So that's null and void. I don't want to hear it. Because if you didn't kill Myles Garrett for it, even though Myles Garrett flipped his car over a couple years ago, even though Myles Garrett has an 8th speeding ticket since he's been a member of the Browns, you can't use that because you didn't hold Myles Garrett to it. Facts. Nike put up the poster before the game was over. I have a post coming out. I can't remember what time I scheduled it. I don't know if it's today at 12, today at 3. One of these times, I got a post coming out today. And my question is Shador Sanders the most, is he the biggest superstar in the NFL? It's going to make people mad. I'm letting y'all know. I already know it's going to make people mad. The problem is the viewership in ratings. Look at the draft. The only reason people watch that draft in the day three was because of Shador. Highest draft ratings they've seen in a long time. The reason why the first preseason game against the Carolina Panthers did the numbers it did was because Shador was starting. Highest game they had seen in a while. Shador, I'm not saying he's the best player, but he might be the biggest superstar in the NFL based on tangible things like jersey sales, based on things like ratings. People are going to get mad. I'm just letting y'all know. They're going to be getting mad about this take, but the numbers back it up. So, shout out to you, Chris. You see it. Yeah, you. How do you tell me he's not the biggest star when people tune in the most for him? When everybody says what a superstar is, they say they have to captivate the audience. People have to want to see them. You can't take that away from Shador. Shador is, so I've been keeping track of this. The NFL Players Association is very slow with how they released the information on Beast. I'm telling you, y'all not going to see me tomorrow if Tyler Huntley is playing. Dylan Gabriel playing, y'all going to see me tomorrow. If it's Tyler Huntley, and we already know it ain't Shador, but if it's just Tyler Huntley, I'm not going to be over here tomorrow. We're not going to struggle through this together. We all going to enjoy our afternoon if it's Tyler Huntley. Another thing about the preseason tickets to the game in Carolina. Facts, numbers don't lie. I planned, he's going to make so much money off of jersey sales. Let me finish that, and then I'll tell you about my plan for going to the preseason game. So, the NFLPA doesn't release how much money players make. They like 2 years behind. So, the numbers that I saw before, the last numbers they reported was from like 3 years ago. So, we're not going to have the numbers for 3 years, but it's just clear. I've been a Browns fan my whole life. If you look around, you've never seen this type of hype for a player. They want to say, oh, it's like Tebow. They want to say it's like this. And I always tell people that the hype around Shador is different because Shador is tapped into an audience that doesn't watch football. That's why the hype is different. That's why he's the biggest star. I bought my tickets to the Carolina Panthers preseason game as soon as I could. I got them on Game Time. Y'all got to sponsor me. But I got them on the Game Time app. I got them. I think I got my tickets like in May. I got mine super early. So I knew that it was going to be a big thing. And I just seen it. Shador was in the stadium. As he walked and moved around during warm-ups, the whole crowd walked and moved with him. So it's just, he the biggest superstar. People going to get mad about that post. If they don't play Dillon Gabriel tomorrow, I think it is going to be like the Caleb Williams situation. Caleb Williams is kind of struggling with taking on the offense, and they didn't play him in the preseason game because they wanted to protect him. I think they would be doing the same thing with Dillon Gabriel if they don't play him. I think they would be doing it to protect him. Also, Shador is easily the quarterback with the most upside on the Cleveland Browns. Not even close. Not even close. Also, Shador, he aligns with Kevin Stefanski's play style and play calling the most. Kevin Stefanski's offense is about running the ball, and then as a quarterback, you need to be on time, you need to be accurate, and you need to limit turnovers. That is Shador. That is Shador. I said this before the draft. I was like, Shador Sanders is the quarterback that fits Kevin Stefanski the most. And people were saying, oh, Cam Ward is more talented, but Cam Ward is more off script than Shador. Shador is a timing. He can make the off script plays if it's third or fourth down and you just need a play. But overall, he is all about thinking the game and his accuracy, which that's why he fits. So I don't even understand why they're kind of – I agree that Joe Flacco should be – Joe Flacco, I understand why they're going to start Flacco. Basically, they're making Flacco the sacrificial lamb. He's going to take the hits early, and then they're going to let one of the rookies get up to speed on the speed of the game and all those things, and then they're going to come in and play. I don't think Flacco's going to play more than six games. Unless we're 5-1, I don't see Flacco playing more than six games. Let's get back to Sean King and the rest of his nonsense he's going to say.
The run, because see, you're a coach.
You don't like, as a former player, you don't like a player that got some stuff to him? Like, you don't like that?
I don't like my quarterback to seem as though he spends as much time on other stuff than he does on football. Like, people like Shador because they think of him as a celebrity. It'd be fun to hang around him.
Sean. When you are called for analysis, give analysis. When you try to put a reporter hat on, this is where you start catching these L's. Your first L, stop all the BS, which he can't tell us what the BS is. First L. Second L, people want to hang with Shador like it's not all about football. What is it about, Sean? A week and a half ago, we got Tony Grossi saying that Shador shouldn't be throwing as much and getting the extra work in because it's a detriment to him. Now, move forward, we got you saying Shador is doing all these outside things. What are these outside things you speak of? Shador gets a camera put on him anywhere he go. We've seen Shador go talk to kids. We've seen him do outreach in the community. Since training camp has started, what are you talking about? What are these things that are off the field that you're talking about? These guys, they just start making stuff up. He just making this up. This is on the fly. Basically, he said, if you're my quarterback, I don't want you to celebrate. That's going to be a problem because you're going to look at all the top quarterbacks and find me the one that don't celebrate. That's going to be an L. That's going to be an L, my friend. Now, what is all this BS you speak of? What is all this that he's doing off the field? Find it. Because there will be footage of it, right? What is it? These guys just make stuff up. He's going to catch another L. I'm going to let him talk some more. I let people speak so we can listen to them take these L's. We can see how many times they could be wrong in a row. He trying to go 3-for-3. He trying to be 100% batting average. Let's see what else he got to say.
Like, we could go to Deion's Ranch. It looks like this got his own gas station. I mean, we can drive in the nice cars. But
let me stop him real quick. I wanted to let that play out, but this is the first thing I think of when I hear that. We can go to Deion's Ranch. It has its own gas station. We can drive all these nice cars. What do y'all hear? What's your first thought when you hear somebody say that? I'm going to give y'all a second, and I'm going to tell y'all what my first thought is. My first thought is I hear a person who is jealous of what somebody else has accomplished and what they have. That's my first thought. I'm willing to be wrong on this. Facts. It's his signature thing. when you are a star, you need a signature celebration that everybody knows, and it captivates people, and it helps with your marketing. That's exactly what it is. He's definitely, he's hating in a combination of jealous. That's what I hear when he says that. Because what does Coach Prime's ranch having a gas station on it have to do with Shador playing football for the Cleveland Browns? You see when they just start fishing for stuff? You see when they start fishing for stuff? Oh, and he got all these nice cars on it. With that, what does that have to do with what you said about Shador? So I hear jealousy. So he's going to say, I guess it's fourth. I thought he only had three L's in here. He got another one. Let's hear him out.
When you announce a self-proclaimed campaign and call yourself legendary, and then you add the antics in, it makes it so much more difficult to actually attain success.
I'm going to disagree with you again, and now I'm going to hit you with some examples. LeBron James got Chosen One tattooed on his back before he played an NBA game. Sean, you're a hater. It sounds like you're mad at his money. It sounds like you're mad at his family's money. It sounds like you're jealous of their ranch. And this, he's going to say he's buying a house. Probably not as big as Coach Prime's. That's what I'm hearing, y'all. Lil Wayne, if you're in my age range, he said he was the greatest rapper alive early in the game. If you're in my age range, T.I.P. said I'm the king of the South. They clowned him for it until they called him that. Facts. Legendary is his brand. And Sean King, if you ever see this, I want you to do one thing. Pull out the dictionary and look up what legendary is. Facts. LeBron had that Hummer in high school. Sean King, I want you to look up the definition of legendary. Legendary is so fitting for Shador, it's not even funny. Legendary means people speak about you. People tell stories of you. People are always intrigued in you. If you look at Shador, you tell me he's not legendary to those kids? If you look at Shador, you tell me he's not... Shador is carrying sports media on his back right now. You telling me that's not legendary? I'm in this game. Anything you put Shador's name on, anything you put Shador's face on, you get clicks just off the strength. It don't matter what you say after that. And you going to try to tell me that's not legendary? People only listening to what you're saying right now, Sean King, because you've been a regular on UCSS. Because you talk reckless about stuff with Shador. You were talking reckless about the ranch, the cars, the gas station, at the house. That's all legendary, my friend. That is all legendary. Look up the definition, Sean. Look up the definition.
Good enough, just... He's good enough just to go play football. And after the first year of earning the starting job and putting 10 out of 8 out of 17, you know, good games on film, then do some of the extra stuff.
But what about him?
Sean King, we see you got to ask these people questions. Sean King, did you say this about Cam Newton doing the Superman when he was in Carolina as a rookie? Sean King, did you say this about any other young player that is celebrating? Sean King, did you say, Abdul Carter, your chain is too big when he got drafted? Did you say, anybody else walking across that draft stage, your diamonds is dancing too much, I can't take it? Did you say to any other player, your family got too much money, I can't take it? Did you say this to anybody else, Sean King? Because if you did it, then we know you're just a jealous hater. That's what it is, man. You can feel how you want to feel. And I'll even tell y'all the other side of if Sean King was to see this video, what he would say to me. This is what he would try to play to me. He would try to say, man, it's just a small YouTuber trying to get his name out there. So I'm using Sean King's name for clicks and likes. I'm sorry to tell you, unless you say something outrageous, your name won't give me clicks and likes. If I want clicks and likes, I just talk about Shador. That's a mic drop. That's enough from Sean King. Sean King, last thing he's going to say here is he's going to say that Shador attacked Tony Grossi. Everybody got that wrong. Tony Grossi is the one that stopped Shador and initiated that interaction. So you can't – actually, he said – yeah, he said he attacked him. You can't attack somebody who stops you. That don't make sense. So we're just going to sum it up. We got a hater, and we got somebody that's pocket watching. We got somebody that's jealous. That's what it is. We're going to get to Cam Newton. I got a couple more for y'all before I let y'all go. We're going to get to Cam Newton. Cam Newton, once he get done with all his dancing and talking, he's going to sum up what Shador did very quickly and succinctly. So let's go, Cam.
None other than the main man, Shador Sanders. As he got off to a hot start or overhype, Shador Sanders jumped out and had an amazing performance against the Carolina Panthers, yes, completing 14 passes out of 23 attempts for 132 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Yes. So with this outing, what questions was answered for Shador in
the final? I had a reaction video early this week, Peggy. If you follow my Twitter, if you follow my TikTok, if you follow the Instagram of the page 4th and 1, mm-hmm, you would have saw that I said something in that stanza prior to this game happening, and it was something as simple as this: create competitive commotion.
Mm. Break that down.
Create, mm-hmm, competitive,
okay,
commotion.
Cam Newton, everybody say you dress funky. Everybody say your style is different. Everybody say you're flamboyant with, you know, a lot of things. You broke that down so simple. It's so simple that we don't even have to listen to the rest of it. Create competitive commotion. The triple C's. That's exactly what Shador did. Shador set the bar. He went into Carolina. We're not going to let people forget the fact that they're saying he was probably going to struggle. And before the Carolina game, they were saying, man, we just got to make sure Shador can get them out of the huddle and get them lined up and snap the ball. We're not going to let them forget that they set the bar that low. We're not going to let them forget it. Shador did his part. Shador did exactly what Cam said he should do. And he established the bar, he created competitive commotion, and now Dillon Gabriel is shaking in his boots. This is Dillon Gabriel, y'all. Would you like to use a lifeline? Would you like to phone a friend? That's what Dillon Gabriel doing, that's what Kevin Stefanski doing, and that's why they don't want to name him as a starter. And we gonna get to the last clip I have for y'all. This is not my favorite actor, but who's going to be on the screen eventually is my favorite actor. Denzel Washington is my favorite actor. The funny thing is, Denzel is going to call me out, and I'm cool with it because he's going to call a lot of people out. So let's get it. Let's hear what the legendary Denzel Washington has to say about the Shador Sanders and Coach Prime. Let's go.
For their kids. I think a lot in sports recently with Shador Sanders and Bronny James, you see the pressure and the criticism of like this nepotism thing. When you see those sports stories, like how do you relate?
I mean, listen, Shakur can play, you know, for real. And everybody's got an opinion. In fact, we live in a world of opinionaires. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I call them, opinionaires. They're all the shows, a bunch of guys, and a couple of them that have played, but most of them who have an opinion about what something should be when they haven't done it. Those who can't talk about those who can't. Those who have know what they're talking about. Those who haven't don't. Period. That's...
Man, y'all, I caught some strays there. Hopefully I can make it through. But Denzel was right. Hey, if the Browns think they're going to make it through, their front office think they're going to make it through and win in 3 to 5 games, they got to be out of their mind. The Browns need to at least double their win total for them to be able to stay here. So if they mismanage this thing, it goes south. The Haslams are not going for two bad seasons in a row. Extremely bad. So, facts, Gino. That's going to be DG. You know, he's been talking to Dan Lanning this whole time. The funny is because Dan Lanning was the one who was taking shots at Coach Prime, and now Coach Prime is going to get the last laugh when his son beats out the quarterback. So everything is tied together. Everything is tied together. If Kevin Stefanski wants to keep his job, he has to not believe that he is secure going into next year without taking a step forward this year. And one mistake that people make is when they believe that they have security, the first thing they do is relax. So a couple weeks ago, I said Kevin Stefanski is looking like Frank Sinatra. He's coming up there confident. At first, he was super confident in the press conferences. We run this. He's feeling secure. Kevin Stefanski don't even look as confident as he did 2 weeks ago. Kevin Stefanski looks like somebody who is feeling the pressure. So, we're going to see what it is. But I like what Denzel Washington had to say there. Opinionaires, I'm an opinionaire. I accept it. See, one thing that you know people will learn from me is I accept what I am. I don't try to be something I'm not. And I don't get out of my lane. That's just me. So, shout out to y'all. If this is your first time here, I definitely appreciate you being here. Definitely appreciate y'all interaction. Shout out to Ant. Shout out to Chris H. Shout out to Gino. Shout out to Beast Reincarnated. Shout out to My Four Hens. We had somebody else in the chat earlier, too, who I wanted to shout out. Where you at? Shout out to Amber. Shout out to BF from Ohio. Who else? Or somebody else. I think my bot sniped him. Shout out to Malik. Shout out to everybody who tapped in, who was here. I'm new to this. I've been doing this for a couple years, getting the ball rolling, giving my thoughts, my opinions, my outlook on how I view these situations in sports. Hey, Barry might be back in Philadelphia. They're on thin ice. But I definitely appreciate y'all tapping in. This is Eliminate the Gray. I am Off the Record D. This will be releasing in the podcast form tomorrow. You can get it anywhere you listen to podcasts. I go live at least once a week, and I do this style of show. And then going into the football season, I'll be live doing listening parties because I can't put the video up at the actual games. But this is somewhere you can tap in, you can hang out, you can hear my analysis, you can go back and forth with me. We'll talk about what we see on the field. So shout out to all y'all for being here. I really appreciate it. If Dylan Gabriel is announced as a starter, I'll be live tomorrow. We can check out the game together. If it's Tyler Huntley, I'm sorry. Y'all won't see me. If miraculously Shador is playing, y'all will see me. But Tyler Huntley, shout out to UC Brown. Tyler Huntley playing four quarters. I'm not going to suffer through that in front of y'all. I've suffered too much as a Browns fan, so I'm not going to torture. We ain't going to sit here and be in the torture chamber together. So I really appreciate y'all. Like, comment, subscribe. Catch me in the next one. Shout out to y'all, and peace. Where's the outro?